Hey everyone, welcome to the latest edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast. We unfortunately don't have any new chairs to show you, but it's still going to be a good day, isn't it, Pastor?
It's going to be the greatest day of our lives, Steve.
What's the chair thing?
I don't think we've ever opened a podcast talking about the chairs.
About the chairs, but it's just a novel thing. Things are growing.
It's a seated place or a place of seated authority.
We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
There we are.
Jonathan keeps trying to give us new chairs to get us closer to what that seating represents.
Yeah. So it's just more
by faith, he's investing in the future of the kingdom.
Wow. That's one way to talk about it.
Speaking of Jonathan, we were discussing at the beginning of the podcast today, Jonathan always gives us and feeds really great ideas of what we should talk about because we usually come in completely unprepared and Jonathan's the producer. So
he's unaware of what's going to take place.
But we were talking about something that resonated with both of us really well, and it had to do with how we look and perceive things, which I think is one of the kind of foundational aspects of really your ministry is really about perceiving God in the ways that God wants us to perceive him versus the way we tend to perceive him anyways.
And me, listen, I've been awakened. God, you know, I didn't come out of the gate saying, hey, I get this and that. God's so good, he just reveals. He identifies things if we'll listen. My idea of worship, my philosophy, my faith, if you will, is just we keep saying this, I'm an Emmanuelist. I just believe God's with me and he's going to tell me what I need to know.
Yeah.
He's going to lead me. He's going to teach me. It's really a simple gospel. It's really not that complex. It's just, right. I believe God. I just believe God, not just believe in him. Demons believe. A lot of people believe God, but I believe him. I just believe what he said. And I believe he will reveal what I don't know. And that's God speaking to us. But the complexity comes through religion and man trying to figure it out and work it out. And why didn't this happen this way? And why? I just say, Lord, you said to lead, you would lead and to trust you. That's what I do. And what you do, I'm like, yes and amen, God. Be glorified in it. So that's the simplicity of our faith in God.
Yeah, well, that's a great segue because the idea of a religion in so many ways, I think, teaches us to label things and reduce these things to things of far less majesty, good and bad, than what God's purpose and design these for. Jonathan, what was the quote you were saying earlier?
It says, when you really see it, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
When you really see a thing, you forget the name of it.
Or wasn't so? What if you can't hear what Jonathan said? When you really see a thing, you forget the name of it. But I think when we first talked, you were saying it the reverse was almost like by naming something, by referencing something by name. A lot of times, we then stop seeing it.
Yeah, and you force the thing into a confined name.
Yeah,
it's really big.
You're defining it by what the word represents, than by what it really is. And then as we were talking about that, what brought to mind to me is my brother-in-law was told me the story about one time, and he does landscape design, everything like that. So he works with plants, and he was telling a story about flowers, and he works with flowers all the time. And he loves plants, loves flowers, has an appreciation for it. But he had this experience with God where he was kind of just looking at this flower, and God said, take a look at that. And he said, okay, there's this flower, and maybe even said the name of the flower. I don't remember what flower it was, but let's say it was a rose or it was whatever. It was like, oh, that's a rose. And he said, you didn't, and he felt like God said, you didn't even look at it. You know, and God had him like relook at it again. And he said, I actually had to like ask God for forgiveness for the fact that like I just so wrote off something so amazing because I've now just defined this as flower and I didn't even look at it. And now I really looked at it and you missed the petals and you the pistil and the stamen and the way the leaves are and the way the coloring is and all this intricacy that God designed and how much we take so many things for granted. And in that case, he said he just missed it all because he just went flower.
Interesting. Yeah.
And then you mentioned that you actually recently had a very similar experience.
I actually did. You were telling me that. I was standing out by some flowers on the top patio out in the backyard, And I was looking at a flower, and I just heard the voice of the Spirit say to me, there's more to it than you realize. Mm. There's more to it. You just can't see it. You're not aware of it, but just the cellular structure of it. There's so much going on within that, just the petal of that flower and the stem and within the roots. There's so much more going on that you're not aware. There's so much activity, so much positive activity taking place to give it the beauty that you see. So don't undermine anything because you look at it at the surface text, yeah. If you're surface level. There's so much more. Know the intricacy of what God is doing in your life. It's so far beyond what seems tangible and what you're able to see with your eyes. And that still just connects to the root, if you will, of the thing. We look for the blossom, the bloom, the vibrancy of the colors and what it is. And instead of looking at the spirit of the thing, God told me a long time ago, and I probably said this many, many times when I was ministering, because, you know, as someone that stands in front of an audience of people and you say something, you deliver a word that you're convicted about, you have great passion for it, you know, you definitely like people to shout, get excited. You want people to get excited with you.
Yeah.
And you can tend to feed off the energy of the people.
Yes.
And a long time ago, God told me, stop doing that. Stop getting excited because they're excited about what you just said. Just remain confident in who I am. Don't look at their faces. Mm. Look at their spirits. Talk to them like I would talk to their spirits and forget what they do or don't look like. Because the negative end of that was that if they didn't respond, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Do you not believe me? You know, your head starts going because your eyes telling you they're not getting what you're saying and you have such passion. Everybody's got to get this, you know. Yeah. I want you to get this, and this is my job to make you get it, and you're not getting it. And so, you know, you'd say things like, come on, can you give me an amen? Are you guys awake? You know, all those things you say early on to try and motivate the people. And the reality was a lot of them were sitting there so intently listening that they weren't expressing it. And afterward, I had people come up over and over. This has happened to me throughout the history of ministry, and sit there and just stare a hole through you. And you're thinking, man, they must be mad about what I'm saying. They're angry about something, or they just don't like it or like me. And they'll walk up to you and go, you know, that was the most incredible word. It just changed my life. And you're like, wow, really? God said, don't look at their eyes, don't look at their face, speak to their spirits. You never know what God's doing inside of someone. And same thing with the flowers, such life. There's a life, there's a universe, a world going on inside of every living thing that God has created because it's the thoughts of God. It's his eternal purpose and presence and power created everything because God is so God. Things aren't God. Only God is God, but his nature, his life, his love, his thoughts created all things. And it's the same thing in people.
Yeah.
You know, we encounter people, we try to identify, oh, they must be angry. We have to title things.
Right.
We have to stay in charge. Labeling,
I mean, isn't that also what Jesus faced? Was like, he went to the people who needed him most, but others said, oh, he's with tax collectors, he's with prostitutes, he's with this sinner, he's with that sinner.
He's in the sinner's house, he's drinking wine, he's doing it. Yes.
It's all reduced to these labels without seeing the spirit behind it.
What's the heartbeat of what? And we have to give something an identity that we feel comfortable with. We have to name it what our experiences with that certain type of thing or person is, and we try to label, and we cause problems, we cause issues, we cause discord, arguments, anger. We get angry about things that shouldn't even be an issue. There shouldn't be a conversation.
Yeah.
And it's because we have to label it. Has to meet the criteria of what we think it should be. Religion, tradition, doctrine. Yeah. You know, the word says these religious leaders are trying to make you do things that they wouldn't move their little finger to do. It's all about we feel the need to be in control instead of letting the Spirit work his will through us, the will of the Father through us, and the necessity to be able to name it. And I think what I hear him saying is, you can see something beautiful and wonderful. You don't have to give it a name. You don't have to label the thing other than the glory of God.
Yeah.
God did it. God's doing it. You know, we could eliminate a lot of contention and discord with one another if we stopped trying to make them fit in the framework of what we believe. Same thing when I was ministering. Just speak the word in confidence and in the passion that God's given it to you, and let God reveal it to them. That's not my job as a minister of the gospel to make someone believe what I'm convicted of by the Spirit, what I see by revelation. It's my call, my office, is to deliver it with the passion and the faith that I received it in. And I'm good. Yeah. I don't bear the weight of their disagreement or their agreement, but we can walk in the unity of their agreement. And if they disagree, let God work with them. Yeah. Let God speak to them. Let God reveal it to them. Don't try to give them a name, or they were disrespectful, or they just didn't like me, or this is a sinner, or this is an unbeliever. There we go. We're trying to title things. When you try to put a label on it, you can't really see it for what it is. And I think that's what Jonathan was saying. The minute we title something, it's like we reduce it to the sum, to the summation of what we identify it as. Like you were saying, rose. It is a rose. But do you know the life? Do you know the wonder of God that makes it a rose? How does it get its shape, its color, its vibrancy? Where did it come from? You know, just the mysteries of God. And it seems like simple ideas and the simplicity of a rose, but it's the profoundness of what it is, why it is, and how it is, and so much of what you don't see that makes it what it is.
Yeah.
Our life is built up of experiences that God deems worthy and right and just for us to interface with. And you never enjoy the beauty. How many roses do you walk by and you never stop and just smell? You ever smelled something and just the aroma gives you an experience? Just smelling a rose. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, oh, that was beautiful. I mean, something happened on the inside just by smelling a rose. Stop and smell the roses, yeah. You know? Glorify God. Look up and worship the Lord. You know, bow your knee. Humble yourself to the mighty hand of God. Instead of talking about and praying for God to change this person and change that, stop giving them a name. If you give them a name, say the idea of God, a thought of God,
right.
You know, God revealed in them. And, you know, what things soever are lovely, the word says, whatsoever things are good, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Wow. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Every time we label something, then we stop seeing what it really is. You know, like you said, oh, it's just a rose, walk by. I know that. I've seen it a million times. But there are parts of that rose you've never seen. There are parts, there are character traits, there are attributes of a rose that you've never seen. You know, and some people that really look into it, what are they called, horticulturists and stuff, they know more about them than we do because they study, they pay attention to what it really is. Same thing with our lives. Pay attention to who Christ really is in you, to the opportunities that are afforded to you. This person aggravated me. He spoke ill of me. Well, great. God's calling you. He's giving you the opportunity to experience the nature of God. What nature? Forgiveness, grace, kindness. Not because they deserve it. I'm not experiencing grace because I deserved it.
No.
But it's the love and the grace of God because God is so God, so good. We want to be like God. We say, well, there he gave you an opportunity. Instead, you named it bad. You named it wrong. You named it a terrible time. You named it an attack. Call it the glory of the Lord. God's will be done. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as in heaven. The minute you give it a name, you bring it to the summation. You reduce what it really is, the fullness of it, to whatever your experiences are, and they're too small in comparison to what God is saying. So when we experience life, instead of calling it a bad day, so I always say, this is the greatest season of my life. I mean, I don't know what all that means. What do you know of the war? Have you read the news? No, actually I don't. I read the news. I read the good news because me knowing what's going on bad, if God doesn't give me a word for good, what good am I going to do? I can join, you know, the countless millions that are screaming, afraid, and complaining. And maybe I won't see an answer. Maybe I won't have a word of encouragement because I've become as afraid of what's going on as everyone else in the world. But if I could maybe be a different voice, if maybe we can see the good, maybe we can hear the answer. Maybe there's something that God wants the world to hear in all the chaos. Maybe in the furnace, He wants the king and the people to know that God is with them in the furnace. So instead of just trying to jump out or run or fight your way out of the furnace, maybe you say, God, your will be done. I know I'm in your hands. And rather than me screaming and being afraid of the furnace of the evil in the world, I'm going to call it blessed of the Lord. I'm going to say, this is the day God has made. That person that's aggravating and frustrating me, I'm just going to say, God, I thank you for the opportunity to show patience, kindness, love, meekness, temperance. I want to feel like you. I asked you to make me more like you. Today you gave me the opportunity, so I praise you for it. And it's amazing how radically transforming those attributes, that vision of a deeper look. Paul says, I want to live by the Spirit, not the outer man, but the inner man. God gives us those opportunities, and we rebuke them all the time. We try to get them out of our lives, and we can get them out of our lives, and God's in it. No, God is God over all things, good or bad. He said, listen, I make it rain on the good, the just, and the unjust. Just, I'm God over all. Why don't you take the attitude that God is with me? If God be for me, who can be against me? Mm-hmm. So let's call that, let's make that opportunity, let's call it blessed of the Lord. Mm-hmm. No matter what it is, let's say God is with me, and he's given me an opportunity to see whatever I'm looking at through his eyes, through the eyes of faith and confidence. He's given me a prophetic Spirit, I'm going to edit this story. It looks bad. I'm going to call it good. I'm going to edit the story. I'm going to bring a change. Remember when the prophet comes and tells the king he's going to die, he turns to the wall and said, Lord, I remember that I loved you, that I served you, that I obeyed you. God said, let's edit the story. He's not going to die. Let's give him 15 more years and he's going to fulfill what I've called him to do. God's given you the power to edit the story. Don't give it a negative name. Call it blessed of the Lord.
Yeah.
You may not see it for what it really is. And if you give it a negative identity, you missed it, because all things work together for good.
Wow. And I think a lot too, we were talking about on the previous podcast how, you know, so much of the state of the world that we want to blame on the world, when a lot of it is like we were put here to do something about it and to be that positive influence. I think about one of the things you like to talk about a lot is Adam naming the animals, and what he called it, you know, that was its name. And so on the one hand, you could go, okay, was that labeling? But what he was doing is he was actually identifying a true essence based on the revelation from God. When it's like, so we go and we look at the world and we look at people and we're going to instantly label them as this, this, and this. We're going to look at the faces. We're going to look at what they're doing on the surface and not look at their spirits. The power of what we're labeling them is actually putting them in a place where we actually have the power, like you said, to say, no, you may look like this, you may act like this, but you're blessed. You were created by God. You were chosen by God. And so your identity isn't the identity that you see it as. My gosh, wow, that would change the world.
What did God say? Listen to what does God call what you're looking at? God said, Adam, he brought the animals to Adam and he said, name them. Well, how are you telling me that Adam had a name that God didn't know? Or did he just come up with a name and God said, that's its name? Where did he get the name? Unity with God. God said, my sheep know my voice. God says, everything in the garden I've given you. And here's your faith. That one tree that looks good, it's mine. The tree was good. There was no evil in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The good was when you obey me. The evil is when you eat of it because I told you not to. It's mine. You knew one thing. The evil you knew was that you disobeyed me for the first time. That was the evil. There was no ill in the tree because the word says everything God made, he blessed. It was good and for a purpose. Everything, including the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was nothing. God didn't make anything evil. They made it evil. Because God says, here's your point of faith. You can have everything. I need you to trust me in this one thing. Don't touch it. What killed them? The fruit? No. The knowledge that they disobeyed God. Immediately they became condemned. They became ashamed. They weren't ashamed because they were naked. They felt naked because they were ashamed. Of what? That they disobeyed God. What does God call it? What name does God give it? What is God saying that it is? That tree in the garden was a blessing to them. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was a blessing because it was their staple of trusting God beyond what they saw, beyond what they wanted. It kept them in power because they were believing God over what their senses told them. And they were saying, we don't need knowledge from any place other than God. Adam had that knowledge. God said, whatever you call it, that is the name. Why? Because that is the name. I created an elephant, and I told you this is an elephant. And you said, it's an elephant. And I said, yes, that is the name thereof. Adam didn't make the name up. Whatever he called it, God will tell you what the thing is. If you will listen, what did God tell you that person is?
Right.
There's a struggle. There's a war going on the inside of them. They're saying one thing to you. You don't know that God sent them to you to end that war. You don't know that God sent them to you. Yeah, they didn't come to you in praising tones and appreciation and worship like a lot of people like. Oh, you look beautiful. You look wonderful. Maybe they came and said, you're the ugliest thing I've seen all day. And you just say, but that's not what God said about me. So God sent this person under my care, the care of my faith, to speak into their lives. What can I say to them? God, what would you call them? What would you call this moment? And maybe you just say, you know what? Maybe I am, but you're beautiful. Or maybe you say, you know what? I just feel to tell you God loves you. Well, I don't care. Well, you know what? I want to let you know God loves you. And I don't know you, but I want to let you know I care for you and I'm going to pray for you. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Could be something totally different.
Right.
But the point is what is God saying to you? You know, what is it the Lord is saying? I've walked into restaurants and stores before and was met with such an aggressive, rash personality. I felt like, man, I came here to buy something. I'm sorry. I came to spend money in your store. You know, you come up there. Can I help you? You want to say, nope, not really. Turn around and walk out,
Or you ever walk into a musical instrument store? That's where you really get it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, then you're just completely, how dare you come into our store?
But what I found is if I'll just say, yes, you can. You talk, whatever, and say something affirmative like, man, you know, I really appreciate you guys being here. I'm thankful that you're here. You're right across the way from me. Or I'm so glad the store is here. I don't have to drive all the way. Listen for what God is saying. What affirmative, anything good, lovely, if there be virtue, there be praise. Man, I love your shirt, dude. That's really cool. Whatever. And I've watched them transform and change. Maybe they don't treat anyone else in the store that way, but I've watched and walked out of that store going, you didn't touch the tree. You obeyed God. God said to bless at all times. I went in. They didn't deserve it. You know, they met me with such a negative attitude, and I met them back with the sword of love. The word of God divides asunder soul and spirit as a discerning of thoughts and the hearts and the intentions of God. That person wants to be happy. That person wants to feel joy. But, you know, they're going to meet with aggression because that war is going on in the inside. Maybe you could end that war. You know, maybe you could walk up and speak the word of the Lord and God would bring the resolve. Maybe they just need that love or that patience or that kindness. I mean, what is it going to hurt if you meet aggression with love? If you confront evil with good, what's going to happen? God's going to do something because by the faith of God that works in you, wonders happen. You know, we're the clay that God uses to bring transition and to bring change into the world. So instead of naming everything bad because it meets you with a bad attitude, you know, bring at it the story, you know, see God reshape the clay. Maybe they never change. Maybe you walk out of that store and you just go, you can think that was the nastiest personality, but you have the confidence knowing, you know what? I didn't touch the tree.
Yeah.
I didn't eat the forbidden fruit. I didn't resist them with anger or with a negative attitude or with frustration. I met them with joy and I left with peace. And one thing I know, whether they know it or not, I know I walked, I named it what God would call it.
Wow.
A purpose. God, if God didn't, maybe God's not doing a work in them today. Maybe he's doing a work in you. Maybe he's doing a work in me.
Yeah.
Maybe God's saying, hey, you know, you're on the verge of having your own fit here. So I want you to reel it in, you know, exercise temperance and control. No matter what, on every side, in some way, God is doing a wonder in you. Name it blessed, chosen of God. This is the greatest season of my life. Only good can happen to me. God is with me at all times. All things have to work together for good. That sounds more to me like a believer that believes God is God and he's with us and he's Lord over all.
Well, and that it harkens back to a previous podcast discussion we had, even about looking at nothingness and chaos, because those then become labels in that same way. And what we say, we were talking about Joseph in the pit and being in prison and all these kinds of things, and, you know, nothing was happening. So we've labeled it that way. And because of that, then we can just look away and say nothing happened versus, oh, wait a minute, God was doing all kinds of things. And so I think it's real, so much about God wants us to think like he does, I think. He wants us that intimacy.
I think that's why the Spirit is in us instead of around us, you know?
Yeah.
The Spirit in you. And out of your belly will flow rivers of what? Life-giving water. Not frustration or anger. Well, they didn't treat me right. You know, they're in the store. I came here to spend my... We could justify a lot of different things.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, have you ever fictitiously just made up create a scenario? You know, the next time that person says, I'm going to... And before, you know, five...
You just walk around with arguments in your head,
yeah,
right?
You're arguing with a person about a scenario that never even unfolded. It never took place. It's non-existent. And you end up with a bad attitude. Perception.
Yeah.
What is the answer of the Lord? That's what the prophets would say. What is the answer of God? Remember when they come to Balaam and say, we want you to curse Israel. Look at this, maybe from this angle or from that angle or from this. He says, how can I curse what God has blessed? How can you bless God and then curse men who are made after the similitude of God? Come on, call it blessed. If it's not, then edit the story. If for no one else than you. So you walk in and say, I had a great encounter with my faith today. Oh, the guy, yeah, maybe wasn't so pleasant, but probably had a need. You know, he was unhappy. But I walked in and had a great encounter with my faith. I edited the story, if for no one else but for me. And that changes your mind. And then you're able to discern more wisely. You have the word in your mouth. You know, Adam, you'll know what to name this animal because I've given you a word of obedience. Don't touch that tree. Eat everything else. I know that tree looks good. I know it looks inviting. The serpent's going to tell you that it can make you wise, but the serpent himself, I made him, and I blessed him as well. Everything God made was blessed, and God called everything he made good. What was the serpent there for? To frustrate, to agitate, to deter? No. For Adam and Eve to say what they were supposed to say, bow down and worship God. God has called you blessed. God has given me all knowledge and all understanding. I don't need it from any place else other than God. You bow down and worship the Lord. Would it change the world? But we can do that today. We can edit the story in our own lives. Bless at all times. Let his praise be in my mouth.
I think of the woman who's caught in adultery comes to mind.
Oh, and, that's
and,
a good one.
And because it's accurate. So we're not even talking about an inaccurate label. Okay,
no.
She was caught doing a crime punishable by death by Jewish law. They brought her there to do it. But they saw her based on that label, but Jesus didn't see her based on that label. Jesus saw her as something else. And so he invested in her when everyone else wanted, and he risked his life to invest in her and refused to look at her. He said, I don't condemn you. He didn't label her based on her sin, based on her action. He saw that purpose. He looked at the flower to see what it was versus what people called it.
Exactly. And what did God say? Listen, you know, we can get upset because someone doesn't treat us right. They treat us poorly. They treat us wrong. Okay. Well, someone may have treated that individual that you're encountering wrong.
Yeah.
And we're upset with him because of the way we're acting. But if we respond back to them, because we're not being treated right, what are we doing? Jesus said, when you condemn, you're guilty of the same sin because you just committed it. You know, whatever put them in a bad mood, they just put you in a bad mood, and you're judging them for acting out the way you're about to act out because they got the treatment from someone you just got from them.
Yeah.
And you justify it because they did it to you.
Wow.
Edit the story. What does Jesus call it? What does God name it? Created after the image of God. You're created for a purpose. You're created for a reason. And if nothing else, it is written, the just shall live by faith. My faith is I'm going to call it what God would call it.
Yeah.
What would God name it?
Well, and to wrap this all up, I guess the crux of it goes, the only way that I'm ever going to know what God's going to name it is if I become intimate enough with God that I can hear his voice. And we can, right?
We can. My sheep know my voice. And you don't have to respond with anything but what has God said. Whatever you call it, that is the name thereof. You give it a nasty name, that's what you're going to experience. You give it a bad name. You give the day, this is a bad day. You just named it, Adam. It's going to be a bad day for you. What does God say? This is the day God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Man.
Selah.
Selah. Amen. Thanks for joining us. Please look again. Look again. Tune in again. Look deeper. Look beyond. Whatever we've said, look deeper. There's something more meaningful than even what we've said. Listen to God.
God bless.
Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Bye.